Blessed Father, we gather together in the name of your Son, and I ask that you would speak to us through your word, and by the power of your Spirit, give us a keen and clear sense of mission, and that we might rightly see our ministries and the purpose of this parish and each of its members as guided and defined by your heavenly mission, and that we would rightly and faithfully be good stewards of the money and the resources you have given us for that mission and for these ministries. And I pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, our gospel lesson today has Jesus talking about money. He's giving a parable about a shrewd and misbehaving manager, somebody who's done a little bit with the books that he probably ought not to have done, and is about to get fired. But before he gets fired, he kind of cozies himself up to all of his boss's debtors and cuts the bills in half. Why? So that when he gets tossed out on the street, he can go back to them and say, "Hey, remember what I did for you? I scratched your back. Can you scratch mine now?" Right? And Jesus, oddly enough, sort of casts this rather ignominious figure in a positive light. Did that strike any of you as a little odd? So what I'm going to talk about today is tips on how Jesus wants us to go out and be dishonest with our money. I'm totally joking. That's not what I'm going to talk about at all. No, the point that Jesus is making in the parable is that if the people of the world are shrewd in their dealings with others, why is it that the sons of light are not as savvy when it comes to matters of finance and relating to people? Right? That's kind of the point he's making. And he says, what is a good and savvy way for the sons and daughters of light to approach wealth? That's actually the important part of his teaching in this lesson. And he says a couple of things. Number one, he says, you cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot have two masters. He says, if you're going to be faithful in much, you first have to be faithful in a little bit. And thirdly, he says that if you can't be faithful with somebody else's treasure, why on earth would anyone entrust you with your own when you get it? Right? Those are the key takeaway points that he's making at in the second half of this lesson. And it's important to note a couple of things. Firstly, money itself is not evil, right? It's not like, I am an evil quarter. You know, it's like, I got this pocket full of change, this one quarter here. It's a bad quarter. It's naughty. You know, I am an evil $5 bill. You know, it's not like, so money, it's paper. It's metal stamped with an image on it. So money itself is just an object. It's not evil or good innately. But the scriptures do say that the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, it's sinful people who then seize upon things like money, right, or beer, right, or wine, right, and then exact sinfulness out of it, right? You know, you can't blame the yeast for doing their job, right? You know, the yeast didn't rebel against God and fall into sin and death. People did, right? So don't go blaming the yeast. Don't go blaming the coins, right? The problem's not out there, it's in here. Last week, I talked a little bit about God's great mission, right, in 1 Timothy. I talked about why did Jesus come into the world? And if you remember, pop quiz, the reason was to save sinners. And we reinforce this reality in our liturgy week in and week out. This is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to seek and to save that which was lost. Right? That's Jesus' mission. And I want to ask the question then, what is our mission? As followers of Christ, as his disciples, what is our mission? Now, it flows from Jesus' mission, but it's not the same, right? My mission and your mission is not to save sinners. That's Jesus' job. What's our job? What's our mission? To make disciples of all nations, to point sinners to the Savior, to Christ, and bring them into that fellowship where they are fed by his word and sacraments, right? So, you've heard me say this before, that the mission of any church, in any time, in any culture, in any place, in any denomination, in any period, is always the same. To go and make disciples of all nations, teach them and baptize them. Well, baptize them and then teach them. This is not something that was cooked up by a committee or through a series of focus groups, right? It wasn't distilled through the cavernous exactations of scholars. It's plainly given in the lips of Christ himself, right? That's why that's our mission, to go and to make disciples, to point sinners to their Savior. Now, the way in which that mission is accomplished may vary from time to time and place to place and culture to culture, right? But the mission is always the same. And here at St. George's, how do we accomplish that mission of forming lifelong disciples? Incidentally, that mission is on the cover of our weekly messenger. So every week you got a cheat sheet, right? And how do we go about achieving that mission? By focusing on four key elements of the Christian life. And if you want to cheat a little more, it's also on the cover of your messenger on that mission cross. There's four things. What are they? Worship, love, learn, and serve, right? Now, those are the things that we focus on as elements of the Christian life to accomplish that mission of making disciples of all nations, right? This is something that we all need to sort of be on the same page about, and so I'm hitting on that this morning. Why? Because having a right understanding of mission and ministry and money is essential for a flourishing church. So what I want to do in the few minutes that I have with you is not so much to exposit Scripture further. What I want to do is talk to you a little bit about stewardship and some of the things that the parish leadership and I have been working on over the summer. I'd originally thought about talking about this in an announcement, but two things. Number one, this was going to be too long to be an announcement. Number two, everybody just tunes me out when I'm giving announcements anyway. So, good, you're laughing. Okay, that was a joke. Because we all know it's not true. All right. So what we've done over the summer is I've assembled a group of folks, vestry members, our junior and senior warden, member of the finance commission, and just active regular members of the congregation, and got together as a team that I call the STAR team, S-T-A-R, which stands for Stewardship, Assessment, and Revisioning. And the purpose of this team was to spend some time thinking about mission and ministry and stewardship and how we at St. George's have approached our stewardship, both in terms of our fundraising and in terms of our budgeting process, and how that's connected to our mission. Right. Hang in there with me. I know this is not the most exciting stuff on the surface, but believe me, it is exciting and it is important, and that's why I wanted to take some time to talk with you all about it. Okay, so we met over the summer for a couple of weeks and just spent time learning about and talking about and praying about the connection between mission and ministry and money. And the metaphor I always like to use is that of a train. And maybe you've heard me use this before. That what is the engine that is pulling the train of the church? Right? Now, the way we've typically done stewardship at St. George's is like many, many, many other churches do it, and we've done it here for many years, and it's not been terrible. I'm not trying to poo-poo it or anything, but what we do is we send out a letter, and we have a stewardship campaign sometime in, I don't know, October, and then we finish that, and we look at all the pledges that we've gotten, and then we make an estimate, and then we put together a budget and say, well, here's how much money we got. Let's figure out what we can do with this pot of money. And then we spend December and January agonizing over squeezing and tweaking the budget so we can get the numbers to match up. And then the vestry approves it, and the annual meeting recognizes it in February. Right. So most people don't see the budget, if they see it at all, until January or February, right? So what happens in that, the paradigm of that stewardship model, again, it's not bad, but what ends up happening is the engine driving everything is what? The money, right? And then we kind of make do for our ministries with what we got. And then if there is a mission, it's sort of flopping along in the back as a caboose, right? So what we wanted to do on the STAR team was to say, how can we change that ideology, that philosophical approach to stewardship and budgeting, right? Because at the end of the day, we do need resources to feed the poor and to teach and to love and to worship. That's just reality, right? It'd be great if everything was free. Budgets? Trust me, nobody would love not to have to worry about a budget more than me, right? Okay, so what should be the engine pulling the train is the mission. That's what's out in front, drawing us along, pulling us along to do the things that we do and to believe the things we believe and to say the things we say, right? And then our ministries are being behind that, are being pulled by that mission. Why do we worship? Why do we teach? Why do we care for the poor and the needy? Why do we love one another, right? It's because it is all part of this great mission that God has given us, right? And so why do we then give? To make these ministries a reality in pursuit of this mission. So you can see that the right paradigm is with the mission as the engine, the ministry is the freight, and then the money is really the caboose. It's necessary, but it's not pulling the train. So this STAR team, we spent a couple of weeks just getting our heads into this kind of a zone, into this mentality. And then we spent 2 weeks going out and interviewing, calling churches, and talking to their clergy, their leadership, their lay leadership, their stewardship chairs, whoever, and interviewing them, just asking them some very basic questions about, when do you do your stewardship? What are some of the things that you do to accomplish it? How is that related to your budgeting process? How is it related to your mission? Is it connected to your mission in an overt way, in a clear way? So this team of folks spent 2 weeks calling churches all over the Miami Valley and literally all over the country and hearing from these other congregations, like, what are other churches doing? Let's not reinvent the wheel here. And then we came back together and sat around the table and shared all of our findings and then put together, for lack of a better word, a best practices proposal that meets this paradigm of mission first, then ministry, and then money. And this team, the STAR team, put all this together into a proposal and sent it to the vestry. And the vestry reviewed it, debated it, discussed it, and ultimately adopted it at the August meeting. And so what I'm doing now is I want to facilitate disseminating this proposal to the congregation. Now, if you want to see the actual proposal, there's a stack of them on the kiosk out in the narthex. You can grab one on your way out, and if we run out, let me know. I'll be happy to print more up. So you can see who was on the team, you know, what the assessment was and what the proposal is and the ins and outs, right? So you can do that. I want to make sure that we all have a clear sense of this idea of mission, ministry, and money. And one of the things that one of our STAR members heard in her interviewing was from a stewardship chair in the Miami Valley who said, "This, I love this, money's not money. Money is mission and ministry. It is mission and ministry, right? It's not just coins and bills and checks. It's mission. It's purpose. It's serving God in a very real way, right? It's vitally important that we make that connection. So let me wrap this up, because I know you're all a totally like, wow, this is really exciting. This is good stuff. Like, I'm excited about this. This is important, okay? So hang in there with me for just a couple more minutes and we'll be done. Okay, so what was the nature of the proposal? There are a couple short-term pieces and then a few long-term pieces. Let me just highlight them very briefly. In the short term, the number one thing was is that the proposal says that there needs to be a proposed budget prepared and in place before we begin our stewardship season. right? So I've spent the last month working on a proposed budget for 2017 that will be in place before we start our stewardship. Now, don't worry, we're not starting stewardship today. We're not going to start it next week, but we will be starting it probably in October. So this is just kind of, I want to frame all of this rightly. The second thing that the proposal said is we want to be intentional about connecting the budget with our mission. How do we do that? Well, our budget is just, it's literally on an Excel spreadsheet. We can email it to you if you want. It's 4.5, 5 pages of just account numbers, and it's very, very boring, right? And I mean, it's necessary, but I mean, you know, if you want to go line by line through our spreadsheet budget, anybody's welcome to do that, right? But what I have been working on, according to this proposal that was adopted by the vestry, is transcribing the spreadsheet budget into what's called a narrative budget, where we sort of reorganize the line items and put them under each of our 4 mission headings: worship, love, learn, and serve. And so, for example, if you were to look at the line item under staff, salaries, and you see our venerable director of music, Jeff Powell, right? And you say, oh, well, that's a staff expense. Well, yes, it is. But do you ever think of that as a worship ministry expense? In other words, why do we have a director of music? Well, so we can have someone play our lovely organ. Pass the sherry, right? No, I mean, we have a director of music. Why? Because our mission is to worship. And having a director of music who is capable of playing the organ and directing our choir is a means by which we accomplish that mission of worship. Right? It's vitally important that we begin to see what might be otherwise mundane expenses in terms of our mission, right? And so that's what this narrative budget is. It's sort of a visual graphic way of reorganizing our spreadsheet budget in a way that helps us see, wow, I had no idea we invested that much in worship, or that much in serving, or that much in teaching and learning. Right? So the idea then is, the third part of the proposal is that we'll present this narrative budget to the congregation at the beginning of the stewardship campaign once the letter and the pledge cards go out. So you'll still get a packet in the mail like you always got. Right? That part will seem very familiar. We'll still be talking about stewardship and giving during October as part of our teaching about it. But you'll be doing so having hopefully a clear idea of why we're doing the things we're doing and why we're funding them to the point that we are. And then we'll probably conclude that active campaign on All Saints rather than start it on All Saints like we typically have done. Long-term goals are, number one, the work that we're talking about doing, developing a budget and a narrative budget, is not something that can just be done by the rector and 2 people in a few weeks every year. It's really work that needs to be done year-round, and that it needs to have a lay person at the helm. Most congregations have a lay person who's the chair of their stewardship, not the rector, incidentally. And so we're going to begin to work towards establishing a permanent stewardship commission, which the vestry voted to establish in August. And we're going to be looking for people to serve on the stewardship commission that would meet periodically year-round, not just for a few weeks in September. And so I might be calling you, or the wardens might be calling you to see if you'd be interested in serving, like we might for the Buildings and Grounds Commission or the Finance Commission. Right? Second long-term goal is that we do live in a digital age where online presence is vitally important. And we have a good website. We have a very good website, better than a lot of churches. But we've gotten to the point where we've outgrown what we're able to do with this website in terms of flexibility of content, and also with the capacity to be able to do online giving. So the vestry has sort of tasked us with exploring ways that we might be able to create a new website that would have an online giving component to it, right? So that's not something we're gonna do by like next week or even by the end of this year. That's something that's a long-term goal, but that's all out there. It's all in the proposal that is written out. If you, like I said, grab a copy on your way out. If you didn't get one, call or email me, I'll be happy to get one to you. So, not quite the sermon you were probably expecting this morning, and I can own that, but a good and necessary one. And I hope as we move forward in these weeks ahead in years ahead as a congregation, that we would have a very lovely, very clear and powerful sense of the mission that God has given us, and that we are pursuing that mission gladly and faithfully as disciples in the ministries that we do. And the reason we support these ministries is not because St. George's is a worthy cause, one of many charities that I might support, but because this is part of my discipleship and formation in Christ and in the accomplishment and pursuit of his mission. And remember, and we say this every Sunday, when the offering is presented and we say, all things come from you, O Lord, but it is of your own that we now give to you. Amen.